Is it on? Can y'all hear me? Can y'all hear me? Okay. All right. Romans chapter 8, and we're going to read verses 26 through 28. And I always say we want to acknowledge the Holy Spirit. We want to invite him and we want to welcome him. We'll read these verses, and we're going to pray about 5 minutes in the Spirit. Amen. Romans 8, 26 through 28. Ready, let's read. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Hallelujah. Let's stand. Glory to God. Hallelujah, Lord God. Shalalala mahidande. We acknowledge you, Holy Spirit. We invite you. Online students, pray along with us. We do thank you. It's in the name of Jesus we come. Alala mahanda rebedeya. Alala mahala la kanda ramahira me sanda rabakaya. Glory to God. By faith. Hallelujah. We know that all things work together for our good. Glory. Hallelujah. Alala mahia. Alala mahia. Alala mahia. Yes, Lord. Thank you. Alala mahashanda rabakaha. Alala mahala la kanda ramahira mahasanda rabakaya ye here. Amama baba babanda rebedeya. Alala mahala la kanda ramahira me sanda rabakaya. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Shora ba 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 ba. Yeah, Lord God. Hallelujah. We yield. Glory, glory, glory. We yield. Alala la mahashanda rabakaha. Ora ba 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 ba. Yes, Lord God. Our hearts, Lord. Our minds, Lord. Glory to God. Alala la mahira ramo sanda rabakaya. Quicken our ears to hear tonight. Ora ba 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 ka shakanda ra ba ka haya. Quicken our eyes to see, Lord God. Ora ba 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 bande. Ora lo lo mo ko shanda de be de de. Ah la 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 ma ha shanda ra ba ka ha. Ora ma 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 ba bande de be de. Ora la la ba ha shanda ra ba ka. You are great. Hallelujah. You are mighty. Glory, Lord God. Thank you. Ora lo lo mo ko shaha. Ora lo lo mo ko de be de de ba kanda ra ba ka haya. Alala andara bakisha. Alala la mahala la kandara mahaya ye here. Say what you want to say, Lord God. Glory to God. Do what you want to do, Lord God. Glory, glory, glory. We yield. We yield. We yield. Glory. Hallelujah. We yield. Show the bondi. Alala la makashandara bakaha. Alala la mahala la kandara mahia. Alala la mahala la kandara mahira mahasaya. Alala la mahala la kandara mahihia. Alala manda de bedede. Alala manda de bedede. Alala manda de bedede. Alala mahashanda rabakahaya. Oh, we thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. We thank you. 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 In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory, 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 glory. Amen, 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 amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen, amen, amen. You will recall that when we began this class, I encouraged, I admonished you as students here in this school to pray. Amen. I said that God is revealing so much to our apostle that if you as students are going to keep up with him, amen, you're going to have to pray. You know, we here at Word of Life Christian Center, we are aware that, you know, we have to pray because he is pouring out so much, you know, as God gives it to him. And God is giving him so much right now. You know, that we're trying to keep up. Amen. Hallelujah. And so I encourage you as students to do the same thing. Amen. Now, I'm just excited. I have no idea which way we're going to go here tonight. But I'm going to start with our chapter. I just got all excited. I just got all excited. But amen. We're on chapter 3. What is prayer? And why do we need to pray? Amen. One of the things that I do want to emphasize, I did say in the definition of prayer that prayer is a dialogue. Always remember that. It's a dialogue. It's not just you talking to God, but it's also you giving God the opportunity to talk to you. Amen. So sometimes during your prayer, you're just going to have to be quiet. You know, you just have to and listen. Now, it doesn't come natural. You have to train yourself. You have to train yourself to listen, train yourself to hear, you know, what God is saying to you. The more time you spend in the Word of God, that's the more you're going to be able to know when he's talking. Amen. Or who it is they're talking. You know, the Bible tells us there are many voices, you know, and everybody's trying to talk to you. But you want to hear his voice and you want to know it's his voice. The more time you spend in the Word, the more accurate you're going to become with knowing who it is that's talking to you. Amen. So remember that it's a dialogue. Amen. The other thing that I shared on last week that I wanted to just reemphasize, and that was the one about spiritual leaders in the church. Remember, I told you about the survey that your author talked about. And he was saying that if the spiritual condition of our leadership is weak and feeble. Now, that doesn't just mean your pastor, your apostle, your prophet. It could be anybody in leadership. It could be the head over the ushers, the head over the greeters. It could be an altar worker. You know, these are leaders in the church. And, you know, he was just saying if our condition, you know, is weak, then the spiritual condition of those people that we're responsible for will be worse than ours. You know, that's what the author said. And that just, you know, it's like, oh, my God, oh, my God. You know, it makes you take your position a little bit more seriously. We were looking at why is prayer a necessity? We talked about God operating through human beings on last week. And then I think we stopped at God is looking for a family with which to enjoy a close relationship. And what the author did, he gave us a scripture. He referred to Psalms 25:14, the secret of the Lord is with those who fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Amen. So God's got secrets. He's got secrets that he wants to share. Amen. But he shares it with those who fear him, and he shows them his covenant. Another reason he gave why prayer is a necessity, he says, for God's will to be done on earth. Now, he gave us Luke 11 and 2, but I always like to add Matthew 6 and 10. That's not the one he gave. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Through prayer, God has fulfilled his will on earth for everything that has already been done. First, someone had to ask God for it. Amen. Somebody had to ask for it first. His will is done through prayer. There are many plans and purposes of God, and we've talked about this, that have yet to be accomplished, because God has not found a man or a woman willing to pray in line with his will. God is searching the land for willing vessels to proclaim and to declare his word. Amen? Amen. So God needs us, human beings, to pray and to ask him to do things here in the earth realm. Another reason, he says, prayer gives God the legal rights. Now this one was really good. To change the will of man. Philippians 2 and 13. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. God is at work. Amen. He is at work in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. It is through prayer that God can deal with and change a person who does not want to change his own condition. Anybody know anybody like that? Amen. People who don't want to change their own conditions. But God can deal, you know, with them if somebody prays. He needs somebody to intercede on behalf of that person. You know, this is why we pray for nations. This is why we pray for our children and our grandchildren. They can't see the need. You know, the Bible talks about them being blinded. Over in, I forgot if it's 1st or 2nd Timothy, talking about, I think it's 2nd, you know, talking about them, I guess, being, I don't want to use the word bound, but, you know, that they would recover themselves from the snare of the devil. That's how we can pray for them, you know? And then the author, he goes on to say, it is through prayer that God can deal with and change a person who does not want to change his own condition. When prayers are lifted for that particular person, God begins to touch and to stir that person, even when this person refuses to change. Our prayers can bring about radical changes in humanity, in cities, in nations. Our author says, do not stop praying until you see the answer to your prayers. Amen. Don't stop praying. Because a lot of times when you begin to pray for someone, I mean, you know, it looks like it get worse sometimes in the beginning. But you've just got to, you know, you got God's word. You know, he's told us, you know, how to pray for these individuals, and just continue praying for them until you begin to see change. Amen. It will happen. He gives, I like the way he gave that example of a horse and water, talking about an example or an illustration if a person doesn't want to change. You know, we always say, and you've heard it, you can take a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. That's the excuse that we always make when we can't get, you know, people to change. And then he says, we can take them for a long spiritual run through prayer. You know, what he said was, you know, if you take the horse, you know, you can bring him to the water if he doesn't drink. But if you take him on a long run, you know, just run that horse, he's going to get thirsty. Amen. That's what he's saying, you know. And this is what we do for individuals who don't seem to want to change. We can pray for them. And remember, it is God who's stirring their hearts, and he will bring about the change. I think that's sometimes where we make our biggest mistake, because we, you know, we're trying to change them. We're trying to talk to them. We're trying to tell them, no, let the Lord do it. Amen? Says sooner or later, they will be thirsty enough to look for rivers of living water. Amen? Yes. Things are birthed through prayer. He gives the example of Elijah and the rain that is recorded in 1 Kings chapter 18. It's a pretty long chapter. I do encourage you to read it. Specifically, he gives verses 1, verse 41, and verse 42. This is where, you know, he and Elijah and Ahab, y'all remember the story, and the prophets, and how Elijah called down fire, remember? Amen. You got your Bibles? Yeah, you got your Bibles. You got your phones. Let's turn to 1 Kings 18. I want you to look at it. I want you to look at how Elijah prayed. Amen. We need to look at this. 1 Kings chapter 18. And, you know, our author talks about, you know, his position, the position that he got in when he was praying. They said that he was travailing, that Elijah was travailing through prayer, giving birth to things. 1 Kings 18. Let's look at verse 1 first. And it says, and it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. It had not rained. It was very, very pitiful conditions. You know, they didn't have any water. I guess it was famine. All kind of things were going on. But, you know, God tells him, go show yourself. Go show yourself to Ahab. Now, I mean, if it had been me, I thought, you know, Ahab probably wanted to kill him. They say he had been looking for him. Amen. And then there's a long account. You know, he tells the servant, you know, go tell Ahab I'm here and all of that. Let's look at verse 36. And it says, and it came to pass at that time of the offering. This is where the other prophets of Baal, they had been doing all kind of stuff, at trying to get Baal to come down, trying to get him to consume the offering and all of that. It came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel. He's praying. Let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. I did what you told me to do. You know, this is how he begins to pray. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. And he goes on and he said, it says here, then the fire of the Lord heard him. Oh, my God. I mean, you notice he's worshiping God. He's not asking for anything, you know, for himself. He said, all I want you to do is just let these people know that everything that I have done, you know, they gave him the bullock and he poured water on it, and he poured water, you know, all over everything more than one time. I think he did it like three times, you know, just to prove to them that it was God who was doing that. Amen. And God heard him. Amen. And sent down fire. And it just wasn't just little fire. He says, then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood. Look at here. And the stone. This was not ordinary fire. Amen. And the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God. They were glorifying God. Amen. Amen. They were glorifying. Now, this is a bold prayer that Elijah was praying, you know, but he believed God. He just trusted in God. But you got to go back to verse one. Go back to verse one. God told Elijah, go show yourself. Amen. And I'm going to send the rain. So Elijah took the word of the Lord, took what God told him. And he went out there in faith, boldly believing what God had told him, you know, doing what God told him to do, and say, well, you know, He said for me to go show myself to Ahab, and he gonna send rain. And then if you go on and you read the chapter, that's exactly what happened. You know, there was rain. Amen. And that was a lot of killing too. Amen. a lot of killing. But God did exactly what he told Ahab he was going to do. Our apostle right now is teaching us on grace and faith. Amen. I mean, it's just unbelievable because we're believing it. Amen. We're believing it. There's no such thing as unbelievable. But it's making such a change, making such a change in the way we're seeing things, making a change in the way that we're praying, knowing, you know, he keeps saying it's already done. Talking about grace, it's already done. You know, that's all grace is. God has already done it. And one of the things that I was thinking about, man, like on Sunday, now I'm fumbling a little bit, y'all just bear with me, because it's just some things, you know. He taught us on Sunday, the message was, after all the things that I've been through, why or how am I still standing? You know, it was just amazing. You know, I'm sitting there with my mouth wide open, and it's like, oh my God, you know, why am I? And then he began to talk about, you know, the grace of God. And I'm pretty sure y'all might see that. I mean, I don't know if it's gonna be tonight or when, but y'all will probably see it. But it was just so good. But after a message like that, you can't help but go home and think about all the things that God has done for you. You know, and I begin to rehearse some of those things. And, you know, I said, well, Lord, I can remember when I said, strike three, you out, talking to the devil. Said it out loud. You know, I knew a little bit about baseball. My grandmother was an avid baseball person. So when I said strike three, you out, I meant strike three, you are out. Amen. My mind and the devil got together, and they said, well, yeah, but you know, he got to get back up to bat again. But somewhere on the inside of me, I begin to hear, but Jesus is up at bat, and he keeps hitting. And as long as he keep hitting, then the other team don't get a chance to come up to bat. Talking about the devil, amen? But then I went on, and I began to think about football. I mean, I knew a little bit about baseball. I don't know a whole lot about football. I'm sorry. So I started talking about, well, what I knew about football. I said, well, I know touchdown. Amen. I know field goal. I say, I don't know too much about, what's this other, I don't know nothing about a blitz. I don't know nothing about no safety. I don't know about no blitz. I don't know nothing about none of that. Oh, I knew about a sack. I knew when the quarterback gets sacked. And then, now y'all get ready. And then I got to interception. I say, I know about interception. And this thing about our prayers are being intercepted sometime. You know, God always hear us when we pray. He answers us when we pray. Amen? But I figured out that there are times that our answer is intercepted. And we got something to do with it. I know that in football, there's something called a playbook. Am I right? Okay. And when they call a play, everybody's supposed to execute the play. We got a playbook. Amen. We've got promises that God has given us. And there are things that we are supposed to do in order to be able to receive those promises. But every now and then, we're not where we're supposed to be. We out of position. Amen. You know, when the play say the ball gonna go to the right. Here you over here. You know, God is sending you your answer at this church. But you got offended and you over there. Well, your answer is going over there. That's where your answer is. You can't go over there and because that's not what the playbook says. That's right. Amen? That's right. There are times when God tells us to be in a certain position. You know, he'll say, okay, I want you to be a greeter. You decide, I can sing. I want to be a praiser. But you're forgetting. You see, all of this causes interception. It causes the enemy. When we're not doing what God is telling us to do, it puts the promises of God in the realm to be intercepted by the enemy. Amen? So we can't let that happen. You have to tell yourself from this point on, no more interceptions. Amen? No more interceptions. I'm going to do what God is telling me to do. I'm going to stay in position. I am going to execute according to the playbook. Amen. Hallelujah. It was just so good, y'all. I say, that's what it is. My answers have been intercepted because of something I did. You know, God heard me. Amen. God answered me. You know, the answer is already there because that's what he said he was going to do. So we have to make sure that we're playing by the rule book. Amen. Amen. Make sure you're where God told you to be, doing what God told you to do. You know, and it can work with anything. You know, sometimes, you know, he might tell you to sow. Amen. Amen. You know, and we can come up with all kind of things that would stop us. Opportunity for the enemy to intercept. Amen. Because when God tells you to do something, it's because he's trying to get something else to you. Amen. I can promise you, he's not going to tell you to do that unless he has something on his mind. It's something that he's trying to do to bless you. Reverend Montrell sent me a text message. Now, I tell you, it was fear and trembling. We were in the meeting in Baton Rouge, and Apostle was ministering. And let me find it for you right quick. And all I could say was, yes, sir, thank you. He says, that's a good one for class in school. Prayer without obedience is a lie. Okay? Prayer without obedience is a lie. And see, that's what we're talking about. Because you're praying, but if you're not going to obey what God is telling you, you know, it's a lie. Amen. And then remember, you're giving the enemy the opportunity to intercept your answer. Amen. Glory to God. Keep that in mind. Keep that in mind. You know, we're talking about prayer. We're talking about prayer. And just no more interceptions after tonight. Amen. 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 We're not going to give the enemy no more opportunities to intercept. We're talking about things are being birthed through prayer. And that's what we were looking at with Elijah. He says, in the passage, we see Elijah got into a position that symbolizes travail through prayer, giving birth to things. Prayer gives birth to things in the physical and the spiritual realm. That's the way our author said it. I want to reverse it. I'm going to say in the spiritual and the physical. It's going to be birthed in the spiritual before it's birthed in the physical. Amen. Amen. God is saying to us that through prayer, we can give birth to lost souls, to lands, to resources, to finances, to ministries, and more. Then he says, in this passage, 1 Kings 18, we find that Elijah prayed seven times. Okay, he's talking about the rain. Go back, go back, go back. Did it seven times. And the author says that the number seven is the number of perfection and completeness. It says this is God's number, which symbolizes wholeness, symbolizes it is finished. Amen. In prayer, this symbolizes that we have to pray until the work is done. Now, you know, we're going to have to take issue with this. He says, until there is breakthrough and until the victory is ours. Well, you know, we're not breaking through. What are we doing? We got keys. So we're going to be unlocking. So you pray until it unlocks and until it opens. Amen. Unlock it and open it. The reason why we must persevere in prayer is because although we understand that it was God's idea, he told you to do it. Amen. It was his idea and it was his will. And that it was during his predetermined time. You know, we understand all of this. We need to learn to pray until the rain begins to pour. Amen. Pray until the rain begins to pour, until you begin to see the answer. Glory to God. And then thank God for it. When God inspires us to pray, our attitude should be one of gratitude. We should feel privileged because God is using us as part of his divine plan. Amen. Then he talks about God is looking for two types of people. And you would think, you know, people with ability, people with talent. But, you know, the author says, no, that's not who he's looking for. In Ezekiel 22 and 30, and we've looked at that, and he says, I sought for a man that would stand in the gap. Y'all remember that verse? We looked at it before. He says, people who are willing to stand in the gap for others, that's who God is looking for. And, you know, he calls them intercessors. They are an extension. Now, listen to what an intercessor is, according to our author. They are an extension of the ministry of Jesus Christ. Amen. He is our mediator. That's what I put in parentheses. They stand in prayer on behalf of humanity. Intercessors prepare the way for God's will to be done on earth. And I know we have intercessors in here. Amen. They prepare the way. They don't do it. They prepare the way for God's will to be done on earth. And then he says, intercessors plow the earth. Amen. They plow. And then the other person that God is looking for is a worshiper. Worshippers open the door for God's glory to descend. So the intercessor, he plows, and then the worshiper opens the door for God's glory to descend. They make the rain come down upon the land. John 4, verses 23 and 24, but the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Amen. And then why is prayer a necessity? It says prayer helps you. Listen to that. Prayer helps you to resist temptation. You know, you say, how can in the world prayer help me to resist temptation? Matthew 26, 41, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. We need to pray to resist temptation and to receive the benefit of having self-control. Prayer prevents us from falling into temptation, and it gives us the strength to resist it. Remember over in Jude, you know, it talks about building ourselves up on our most holy faith by praying in the Holy Ghost. Well, the more you pray, the stronger you're going to get on the inside, in your spirit man, your inner man. You know, he's being built up. He's being exercised. So that, first of all, you want to be able to recognize temptation. You know, because, you know, your students here in this school, and I'm online students, I'm talking to you also, you're students here in this school. And You know, you're building yourselves up. You're growing. You're getting stronger. You're learning more. So the enemy is not going to be able to deal with you the way he dealt with you before. He's got to find some new tricks, you know, and they're going to be sly. You know, it's not going to be just head on things, you know, just simple things that we know is just wrong. It's not going to be stuff like that. It's going to be them little bitty things that he's going to try to sneak in on you. And then you pray and you build yourself up. And then through the help of the Holy Ghost, you're going to be able to recognize. You might not be able to recognize it all of a sudden, but you'll know something not right. Something not right. I don't believe I'm going to take this offer. You know, people will offer you things. People will say things. People will do things. And remember that it's all designed to get you off the course that God has for you. It's trying to get you out of the will and out of the plan of God for your life. That's all it's all about. Amen. And so, you know, he's going to do these little things. But when you pray in the spirit, you're building yourself up and you're going to begin to recognize, and then you're going to have more self-control, you know, and the more you do it, the easier it's going to get. You know, we all trip up in the beginning because we're learning. This is something that we have not been trained to do. So you're going to miss it a few times, but then that's how you learn. That's how you build yourself up. That's how you grow. And so that when he comes back that way, the next time, you know, I talked once before about distractions. I don't know if it was in this class or last year, but you know, when the distractions come, it's just to pull you off. It's just to pull you off. You know, I've just made up my mind. I'm just going to stay where God tell me to stay. I'm going to do what God tell me to do. My sister, she had a couple words. One of them was, we got to go on. You know, I don't care. You're offended, so what? You got to go on. Amen. You got to keep going. You got to keep going. You can't stop. And then the other one, keep your end up. Yeah. She said, keep your end up. Do what you're supposed to do. Amen. God is not going to hold you for somebody else. He will only hold you for what you do. Amen. And the more you learn, the more is going to be required of you. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Just remember, no more interceptions. I did pretty good, Dougie. Football player. You see, I did pretty good. Amen. Y'all be blessed. See y'all next week. Glory to God.